When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
I met a traveller from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read which yet survive stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear, 'My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings, and this is The Gargle.'" Sonic Glossy Magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser. Your guest editors for this week's edition of the podcast are John Luke Roberts and James Colley. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take hands together and run at the wall that is this week's stories. But first, let's have a peep at the front page. Today's front page model is a woman dressed half in a swimsuit and half in a parka, wearing a snorkel as part of our special feature, The Clothing Range for Climate Change. Be beach or blizzard body ready with the blazing hot looks people are flooding to see. There's an avalanche of ideas and even cute things for the kiddies to melt even the hardest heart or most persistent polar ice cap. Other headlines read, "Low-carb diets. We teach you how not to press yourself against your local bakery window screaming mournfully for bread." And nostalgia hell, parents around the world shocked their kids enjoy shows that were old and boring back when they were kids. A distressed father says, "I just had to talk to my daughter about Star Trek. Not even the new shows, the one from the 60s. What do I know about the episode that's meant to be about the Cuban Missile Crisis? What's the Cuban Missile Crisis?" Hysterical cartoon this week comes from the war in Ukraine. It's Vladimir Putin holding a gun to a child's head but looking at the reader and saying, "You see, the real enemy is cancel culture." Our first story is a premium story. This is a fan service episode all through and through. Our first story is a slime robot story. For those of you who are fans of The Last Post, you will know the history of Slurm and Glarb. This is the story of a sort of a sentient slime robot that crawls into the body and solves things. John Luke Roberts, you've been a sentient slime robot in the past. Would you unpack this story for us?
I hope to be again. I will say, like, you've made it sound like it's a little detective, or that this is a yeah, crime drama, wearing a little hat and a raincoat. It's a slime robot, you're right about that. It's been made and designed by some scientists, as you'd expect a slime robot to be. Like, you wouldn't want a layperson having a go at this, in the Chinese University of Hong Kong. So it's a lump of slime, which is made up of magnetic bits covered in silicone, which moves around like a sort of slug thing. It's described by the New Scientist as having a custard-like consistency, although they don't mention what taste it has.
The way that it looks is exactly like the stop-motion animation, like slightly psychedelic cartoons I watched in the 90s.
Yeah, it looks like if Flubber was body horror. Like, if they're saying it's custard-like, I don't know if it's a before or after shot of custard. It does not look appetising.
So the idea is you put it in the body and then they can use electromagnets to make it go in and take things, which, like, if you've accidentally swallowed a battery, you know, as you do when you're trying to change the battery in the smoke alarm and it just falls straight down there as you're up at the top of the ladder. You put this in, it goes, you know, control it, and it grabs the battery and then it comes out. But I know from nursery rhymes that swallowing one thing to consume something you've already swallowed is not a good starting point. We all know that this ends with swallowing a horse and then dying, of course. But I'm glad that science has at least made it look like something John Carpenter might have filmed in the 80s.
It's also nice that using slime to extract a battery that you've accidentally swallowed is a real turducken of Gargle deep cuts here, because it's very much in the Gargle lore. I'm excited about this. This is huge for those of us who never consented to the magic school bus poking around inside our bodies. I'm glad there's something that can go in and just get rid of us. I don't know why this has been invented. This is the worst thing that the mind can conceptualize. And once again, we have to ask, was there not enough existential horror in the world? If you, as a scientist, head this in and say, we've made a discovery, the response you should receive is, you've made a mistake, you're fired, hand in your badge and a gun, and explain why you were bringing a gun to work. That's also part of why you're being fired.
I mean, first of all, if you brought a gun to work and that's why you're being fired, the solution to that problem is, you can't fire me, I shoot you. Secondly, I think this is quite cute. It's got a sort of a benevolent vibe to it, although it could just be the animal magnetism. Or robot magnetism.
Yeah, robot magnetism. I think benevolent vibes, they often come in with benevolent vibes. We know this. And then they end up ruling. I've seen enough movies to know. Also, if the robot revolution happens while the robots are inside us, I think that's worse. They can easily, like, take over, start pulling the strings that exist inside our bodies to... You know, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I'll buy one as soon as it's available on the market.
That's exactly how skeletons got inside us as well. At first, they were like, well, you can just swallow this and it'll actually help you move. And all of a sudden, we've got skeletons using us as puppets.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I think Benevolent Vibes is definitely going to be the name of my friendly sex company in the future. Bagsy is the name of my friendly sex company.
Friendly Sex Company is the name of my friendly sex company.
I'm going to bag mine as Sentient Slime is the name of my sex company.
It knows what you've done.
Let's meet back in a year and see who's done best.
That's all the time we have for our helpful robot section, because now it's time for your ads. Are you trying to right a wrong that you've done to your beloved in a film? Have you let them down somehow and need to redeem yourself? Try running after them with a boombox full of songs or sweating in the rain. And if you don't have rain, supply yourself with half a glass of water. The dignity reclaimer for the wrong. If you show up wet, they'll assume you mean it. And the bills sure keep piling up. If you're having trouble finding a place to stay, why not live rent-free in someone's head? People's brains are warm, have electricity, and let's be fair, there's probably plenty of space. Just put your baggage near their neuroses and don't wipe your feet on their dreams. And that's your ad section for today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Now it's time for Fugitive Flamingo News in our fan service special on this The Gargle, your favourite glossy magazine. James, you're tall and unwanted. Can you unpack this story?
Could have gone with graceful, beautiful, beloved around the world, but no, tall and unwanted will do. So the bird escaped from a zoo in 2005, and that's a very bad day for zookeepers when you finally have your flamingo enclosure ready to open and the birds fly away. Then you have to turn to your fellow zookeepers and say, did you know they could fly? They always stuck me as more of a standing one-legged during sunrise vibe, which does mean they're most likely to be found on an insufferable Instagram feed. But this also has like a fantastic jailbreak element to the story. I'm more upset that it's been captured captured again. But then again, maybe it wanted to be captured. Maybe the outside world isn't for this flamingo anymore. It is an institutionalized flamingo. The flamingo is named Pink Floyd, and can we pause for a moment just to enjoy that? You should have just named it Floyd and let the pink speak for itself, but...
I refuse to give the flamingo any credit for that. I refuse to give the flamingo any credit for anything other than tricking its captors into thinking it was lazy by being lazy.
I'd also say I'm not really very willing to give the zookeepers much credit, because the flamingo is also flamingo number 492. And if it took them 492 times to come up with the name Pink Floyd for a flamingo, then heaven help us all.
Also, stop losing them at that point. I don't think you deserve to have flamingos.
Nobody deserves to have flamingos. No one's ever done anything that wrong.
Can I ask, did everyone know that flamingos live this long? Because I think if you put a gun to my head and asked how long do flamingos live, again, I would say very odd for you to have brought a gun to this situation. Why are you carrying a gun? But if I have to answer, 6 to 7 years, provided they're not used as a golf club by a Flintstone or like left in a garden as an ornament during mowing season. Like I didn't know they can go 50 years. You can have a 50-year-old flamingo.
Well, you won't have it for long because it will escape after that to turn up in Texas.
I mean, it's exciting that this is the only long-legged flamboyant thing allowed to have a happy life in the southern United States.
I did just wonder how they recognised him. They look very similar to me. So when this one strolled into Texas, they went, "That's Pink Floyd from that zoo up in Kansas. Oh, my word. We've been looking for him."
I assume he had a magnetic slime robot and or a tag.
Well, maybe the tag is it, isn't it? That's maybe the tag.
I assume the flamingo detective was one day away from retirement, had one case that he could not sleep at night and went, "You know what? That'll do. This is the one that I was talking about all along. Pop him back in the cage and we're sorted."
The worst true crime podcast is just finding a flamingo that's gone for a walk.
You say the worst. It sounds like the best.
It does sound like the best. I can't handle a true crime podcast.
No, it makes me very anxious. But if it was flamingos, I'd be delighted all the time.
The thing of the story that just stuck out to me is how much they tried to lead into the Pink Floyd name and be like, maybe the bird was on the dark side of the moon. It absolutely was. It would die in seconds.
Maybe it's gone over the wall.
Maybe it's done one of the other songs.
Maybe it took too much LSD and fried its brain in the early years and unfortunately could no longer tour.
Maybe its foot has gone comfortably numb from standing on just one leg all that time.
There we go.
There we
but
go.
The other way round, so that the punchline comfortably numb comes at the end of the sentence.
Well, that's all the time we have for Flamingo News, because now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week our guest editors bring in something to review out of 5 stars. James Colley, what have you brought in?
So the last few times I've done this, I've put in quite a bit of research and put quite a lot of effort because the review matters a lot to me. And I thought, what could I review this time? And I decided that what I was going to bring and what I was going to dedicate was absolutely nothing. And what I'm going to review is Panic. And right now, don't really care for it. Really wish I had prepared something a bit more. Panic makes you feel bad inside. And then you're like, what's coming next? I'm afraid. I don't know. I would have liked to know what was happening instead of just being in this state where my heart is beating and I don't really want to stop talking because I don't know where I'm going with this. So I'm going to say, let's not do Panic anymore. 0 stars from me.
James, you know, I met you doing improvisational comedy at Sydney University, and boy, has that shown. John Luke, what have you brought in?
Well, I'm going to start by saying this is a 1-star review. I want to make that clear from the top. It's not a very coherent review because I'm just very... Right, I would like to review the escalator situation at Cutty Sark DLR station in southeast London.
About time.
Thank you. I've lived in the area since 2009, that is 13 years, and I do not know that 1 month has gone by with the escalators functioning all the time. It's quite a deep station because it has to go under the river immediately you get on the thing. So there's 2 sets of escalators. Never can you get all the way down or all the way up without having to use the stairs. They have a sign up saying it's going to be fixed by Christmas. That's happened. That's just already happened. They put that sign up before last Christmas and now suddenly it counts for the next one. I don't know how come they cannot get their escalators to work and then they fix them and then they don't work again. What has gone on with the escalator situation at Cutty Sark DLR station? I haven't asked the staff because I'm scared the tone that I use when I want to go in and playfully sort of say, so what's the situation? But I know it will come out with such venom that they'll think that I'm having a go at them rather than just trying to get to the bottom of this thing. I do not like it. One star. Actually, two stars, because it has at least provided some release for me today, being able to rant about it.
Well, fair. I mean, the great thing about an escalator is that even when it doesn't work, it's still a thing.
Not these. No, it's not like the Mitch Hedberg thing, because they've covered it up. They've covered it up with hoarding. You can't even use it as a stairs. I'm not sure it's there anymore. I think they've snuck it off, and there's just you just fall to your doom if you walk down, which actually, some days, I wouldn't mind. I'm so angry about the escalators now.
Well, thank you for your reviews. Now it's time for our ancient smells news. I'm always delighted when I step into a burial ground to discover that something smells. James Colley, You've got a baby. Can you unpack this smells news for us?
I have been unpacking unusual smells for just over 4 months now. So this story is that a study of jars of food left inside pyramids has revealed that they still smell sweet, which is a lovely and smart way to offset the smell of corpses all over from the people being buried with the pharaohs. So this tomb, this pyramid, is actually the tomb of an architect, which I imagine makes it one of the shittier tombs, because it's hard to build one when the architect has already died. I suppose what you do is you draw a triangle in the sand, and then you do your best to make that. But again, and I hate to hark on this, as someone who I would say is not a fan of unleashing Eldritch horrors onto the world, I would ask that we stop opening things inside tombs in general. Leave the tombs alone, rest in peace, some might say. But if we are doing this, if we are opening the jars of food inside the tombs, don't just smell it, eat it, coward, taste it. I don't care if it smells nice. Lush soap stores smell nice, but the taste leaves a lot to be desired. And yes, I did Google if there are Lush stores in the UK, and apparently some. They sell soap. Work it backwards from there. The other part of the story I love is the sweet-smelling food wasn't even the big-ticket item. It's not the headline for me. They also found the embroidered underpants of the entombed architect, which is very clever. The last thing you want is to get to the next world and not know whose underwear is whose. It's very embarrassing for your first day in heaven. Though, as someone often guilty of leaving a gin bag unopened for a week and then having to open it and clean everything inside, I can only imagine the noxious smells of ancient underwear, and I can't imagine any sweet jams or jellies you're finding is going to do any damage against that tsunami.
Well, I feel like embroidered underwear is a sign of great self-respect. There's something sort of arts and craftsy about it. It's just for you and, I guess, the jackal-headed god of death.
I think the self-respect element, it depends on whether you take them off before embroidering them. It could be real self-hatred.
I would say also, like, I, as someone who is, as a proud Australian, investor in Bonds underwear and enjoy saying the phrase, Bonds, James's Bonds, every day, I feel like I get more out of that than I would out of my actual name.
That's the thing, you can embroider any underwear. You could embroider Bond's underwear. All you need is a needle and commitment.
Can I say?
Yes.
That I'm surprised that architect is such a high enough role in Egyptian society to get your own like burial place, because it must be the easiest job in Egyptian society. You can be an Egyptian architect if you can draw a triangle. That's all the job is. What should we do this time? Triangle? Great. Occasionally you throw in a cat, but then they don't like that enough to do more than one.
The great thing about being an Egyptian architect is it's all promises, right? Oh, sure, I'll build you a tomb after you're dead. Oh, it'll be huge. Yeah. It'll be magnificent. And then you just get like 100 people to sign up for the tomb that you're not intending to build, and eventually you get enough money to actually build the tomb. Then as long as they keep bringing other people along, then everyone profits in the end. I just think that's a magnificent plan for the architect. Of course they're going to have heaps of money.
Wait, why didn't you do the... Hang on. You didn't do the punchline about a pyramid scheme. What happened?
I assumed my audience was clever enough to put it together themselves.
Oh, never assume that. Never assume that.
In the same way as the architect just vaguely points at a patch of sand and assumes the slaves are clever enough to build it.
I'm going to do all my punchlines once I'm dead.
The pyramids were very much not put together themselves. Someone was forced to put that together against their will, and as all comedy should be delivered. I want to know what architect makes like 12 pyramids and then he's like, you know what, I'm just going to go for a sphinx. I think I've worked my way up to sphinx. Like, at least give me a cube once. Let's work the difficulty. difficulty scales up slowly.
One of them might be a cube just with half of it under the ground. We just don't know.
And we never will. After our ancient smells section, now it's time for our modern spells section. There is a police department using witchcraft to find dead bodies in Tennessee. John McRoberts, you're related to a witch. Can you unpack this story for us?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm married to a witch that a police forensics department. I don't know about this personally. That's just a connection. Like, I have, like, I'm looking around the room I'm in and there's various, like, crystals and brushes and stuff. They're teaching police to use dowsing rods to find dead bodies. So to walk along with the dowsing, it's called witching, apparently. I think it's fairly reductive. There's a lot more to witching than just walking along with sticks to find.
Flying along the sticks cross, at least.
Like when you're dowsing for water, yeah. Then that means there's a dead body underneath you. I think this is quite a good thing to give to police officers do, because it stops them doing all the other things they do, which end up with minorities dead. So, and majorities dead, with people dead. Look, I think it's good. It's also, coincidentally, the plot to Police Academy 9, Hail Baphomet. there's scientists who've rubbished this, saying you can't do that, it's not actually working. I think it's fine. Look, if you anywhere, like probably in USA, given its violent genocidal beginnings, pretty much anywhere you stand, there's a decent chance that something terrible has happened underneath you. So you've got to start somewhere.
Dowsing is usually used to find water. If you're using the spell where you find something to drink to find a corpse, doesn't that just mean they're vampire cops?
Oh, it's just the traditional thing that when someone says you want to see a dead body, they're going to lead you to the creek, and the rest of that I'm not allowed to talk about anymore. Dowsing rods are huge, though, in particularly, like, I know them mostly from tedious Australian fiction, and what they do in those is let you know that the rest of the book is not worth reading, because it's always someone's come to town with a dowsing rod and they're going to find some water, and then Russell Crowe will win World War I on horseback. Something like that will happen. I think you're on the right track here. Like, this is what happens when we push to demilitarize and defund the police, because like any good RPG or Dungeons and Dragons player, they will simply pick a new build. I can't afford armor, I'll be a mage and cast a few spells. This is a joke that I have researched by playing an insane number of hours of the game Elden Ring, which I mentioned for two reasons. One, it's now a tax write-off, and two, in the future my daughter can listen to this and find out why I never taught her to read.
That's all the time we have for modern spells news, because now it is time for our art news. This is our half a glass of water art news, completing our, I think it's, what is it, a royal flush of fan service stories that have been sent in by our roving reporters. If you are a roving reporter, if you find a story that you think would be suitable for the Gargle, tweet us at Hello Garglers. The Louvre has prevented the $26.8 million sale of Chardin's record-setting strawberry painting, known not just for its strawberries, but for the not-quite-full glass of water standing next to the strawberries, presumably to soothe your mouth from the strawberry burn that you would receive from eating all of the strawberries. James, your child is about to start solid foods. Unpack this story for us.
Okay, so this is a still life by 18th century French artist Jean-Baptiste Simon Chardin, which is how it isn't pronounced, and he has had his $28 million sale of his artwork blocked. And it's been given National Treasure status. Now, National Treasure status prevents paintings from being moved out of France unless some Germans decide they just want it, which historically means they will just take it. Not much upset. So the painting, as you've mentioned, is of strawberries in a glass of water, which makes the price ridiculous because you could easily just buy those things for less than half the cost of this painting. But instead, it will now be inducted as a French national treasure, joining other French national treasures, which include sexually aggressive skunks, those big sticks you can smoke out of, black and white striped shirts, rioting, cheese which smells like it's been in a pyramid for 3,000 years, throwing one of those big smoking sticks into the Notre Dame, Roman Polanski, withering looks of disdain, World War participation medals, Zinedine Zidane's Zine, he makes Zines now, and of course this laugh.
Very nice, very nice. Of course they can just sell an NFT of the painting and receive exactly the same value for none of the quantification. Jean-Luc?
When you said then, when you launched into the list of French things, I was so convinced you were going to start with Gérard Depardieu that when you said sexually aggressive skunks, I thought, oh well, the same thing. It's called Le Panier de Fraises des Bois, which translates as the basket of my boys, the strawberries. And There's white flowers, there's water, and there's strawberries. As you say, like things that they, you can get them quite... I think we should stop artists drawing or painting paintings of fruit. We know what fruit looks like by now. They should move on to something else. We've got this one covered. And also, as you say, it's not quite a half full glass of water. It's more than half full. Unfortunately, more than half full. But I like to think, because it's not quite full, that it was full when he started painting. But he got a bit thirsty while he was going. And maybe there were even more bloody strawberries, but he couldn't help but put them into his big old painty mouth.
I mean, the great thing to know about any glass that is more than half full of water is that it was once, however briefly, half full of water.
It's also nice to know that, like, this painting will become more relevant to future generations as they aren't able to access things like fresh fruit or a glass of water. These will be as fantastical as a painting of a unicorn to them. Did these ever really exist?
Yes, how did people have the time to do oil paintings between desperately trying to pack Amazon orders to the other side of the warehouse where the other person is working who desperately needs a bottle of water? I don't think I explained that properly. In my head, it's somebody working for Amazon and yet having to use Amazon because they're time poor, so the convenience of Amazon is sufficient for them to feed into the system that oppresses them. So they're on one side of the warehouse ordering something from the other side of the warehouse to be shipped to them while peeing in a bottle.
The Amazon Ouroboros.
Yes, yes.
And peeing in a bottle and then drinking that is another way to make the human Ouroboros. These are all wheels within wheels within wheels, and the wheels are snakes.
That brings us to the end of the show. We've run out of time for all of these magnificent stories. If you like podcasting, try podcasting. James Colley, have you got anything to plug?
I've been trying podcasting, frankly, too much. So if you'd like to listen to Vanity Project, which is where me and comedian Bridie Connell go through albums made by people who otherwise should not have been making albums, or The Collie Problem, which is my 5 hours of talking to various people about things. That one is a war of attrition. Good luck getting to the end.
And John Luke, have you got anything to plug other than your fancy BBC award?
Well, I did win an award. I won a BBC Audio Drama Award for Best Sketch Show for my podcast Sound Team. It's now endorsed by the BBC, who didn't make it. And I quite like that because we beat BBC shows to the award. So that's nice. I'm doing Edinburgh this year, if anyone's going, with a show called A World Just Like Our Own, But... So come and see that in Edinburgh, 3:45, Monkey Barrel, all August.
Excellent. I would like to say thank you to our roving reporters, especially Alex, Mark, Peter, James, Audrey, Sam and Carlitos, who all sent in the story about the Slurm, or aka the sentient metallic robot. If you would like to know the reference to that that prompted people sending that in many times, go and listen to the entirety of The Last Post, a daily statistical news podcast set in an alternate dimension that I spent an entire year doing and has never thought about since. We'd like to say thank you to Head Nutcase, Chuck on Piggott, and William John Moore for the Fugitive Flamingo story, and Mammal of Mystery for the Ancient Smell story, as well as Mike Espinos for Cop Witchcraft, and AP for the Half a Glass of Water art story. So if you would like to be a roving reporter, tweet us at Hello Garglers, or if you just have a comment or want to say hi, at Hello Garglers on Twitter, or find me at Alliterative on Twitter and Instagram, that's Alliterative, or patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a good place to support me because people are certainly not buying tickets to my Melbourne International Comedy Festival show, which is happening now and the rest of this month, after which I will be in Sydney and then Perth and then London and then also Edinburgh. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Executive producer is Chris Skinner. I will talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.